the book of Psalms. And I should have just had these young people stand here today and read all these scriptures for me. And I wouldn't have to. I'm going to be reading from Psalms, the 22nd chapter. Be reading from Psalms, the 23rd chapter. And Psalms, the 24th chapter. So they're all kind of right there together. Amen. You're such a great, great congregation. I've enjoyed preaching to you this last week. Not just preaching to you, about you, but preaching to me and at me as well. And I'm excited about what God's doing.
Yes.
The book of Psalms, the 22nd chapter. The book of Psalms, the 22nd chapter. Begin reading in verse number 1. David said, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent." Book of Psalms, the 23rd chapter, just a couple verses down there. Psalms 23 and 1, we can all quote by heart, "The Lord is my shepherd,
yes, sir.
I shall not want." Aren't you thankful that the Lord's your shepherd?
Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
The very next chapter, Psalms 24 and 1, the word of God says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein." I want to preach today, helping grace of God, and I normally don't give a title on it, but I don't want anybody to be lost, and I want you to kind of bear with me for a few moments tonight, or this morning, as God sets the stage, and as we try to follow after the Holy Ghost. But I want to preach from this subject: trouble, trust, and triumph. Trouble, trust, and triumph. Why don't we lift our hands and our hearts toward the Lord right now? Let's ask God to talk to us, can we?
Gracious God, you're so thankful today for your good. My Lord, we thank God. Amen. You're a very God upon the greatest name. God, I'm thankful
for the presence of God. I'm thankful for your sweet presence that's in this place today, God. I'm thankful for people of God that have walked beside this building. God, that they're hungry. Over that there is going to be a wave of the Holy Ghost that is going to sweep from this place today. I believe that there's going to be people today that are going to begin to respond to the moving of the Spirit of God. And let me encourage you today that when you feel the Spirit of God begin to move on you, that's not the time to clench your fist. That's not the time to shut down. That's not the time to say, God, some of the day or some of the preacher or some of the revival or some of the service. But that is the time to open yourself up and say, God, whatever you have for me, I'm hungry for it this morning. I'm hungry for it this morning. Oh, why don't we just lift our hands and tell God right now that we're hungry for the moving of His Spirit today. Come on. In our heart. We come with a desire to see God do things. I also come to the house of God believing that God can reach down and change any individual's life. Let me tell you today, I am a firm believer that it doesn't matter how deep in sin that an individual has been, that God is able to change their life around. I am a believer today that it doesn't matter what you have been involved in life, that God is able to come and make some changes in your life. I had mentioned this a couple of years ago when I was here, but there is an Old Testament principle that the Bible talks about how that if they walk came into the house of God by the north gate, that they were to leave by the south gate. If they came in by the east gate, that they were to leave by the west gate. In other words, what God was saying is that when you come inside my presence, I desire that you leave different than the way you walked in. With your surroundings. There ever been a time that you was trying to enjoy a nice romantic meal with your wife and you're sitting there at the table and all of a sudden somebody behind you has one of those, and I know it's none of our children because none of our children are that way, but they have some unruly children. You'd love to put something in their mouth and it wouldn't be a pacifier. It would be like a piece of duct tape over their mouth because they're screaming and they're yelling. I've been on airplanes flying back and forth. And a couple of months ago, my wife and I flew from Phoenix back to Atlanta to see our youngest son graduate from boot camp and spent a few days with him and our oldest boy. We were on the plane and Brother Newman, I didn't like the arrangements. Number one, you know, it seems as if the older I get, the smaller the seats become in the airplane. I think they're reducing the size of the seats. I really do. I wouldn't think any other way. You know, sitting there on that plane, and we're six across, three on one side of the aisle, three on the other, and right behind us, there were these children that were hitting the seat. And I would, you know, we were flying, it was about 4 hours across, 4.5 hours across, and We didn't sleep well the night before trying to pack things up and get everything ready to go. And we were late getting to bed and early to rise. And you know, Brother Newman, every time I just start to doze off, children behind us would drop that lap tray. Yeah, and it would make such a noise, and it would rattle me. I'd take a deep breath, and I tried to bite my tongue. Then in restaurants where that we've been sitting there, the children begin to scream at a loud pitch, and oh man, that would bother me, because I would just go to chew my food. Instead of chewing my food, I'd swallow the whole thing. what I really wanted to do is I wanted to call the waitress or the waiter over and say, you know, I'd like to change my seat, please. Could you put me in a different part of the restaurant? Could you put me in a place where the kids aren't quite so loud? You know, on the airplane, I've had the opportunity in times past where the seating arrangement was not to my liking, and the plane was not full, and I would ask the stewardess, ma'am, could you please change my seat? Could you put me in first class? I'd really like to go first class. Could you put me in another place where there's not quite so much going on? Because I didn't like my surroundings.
All right.
Can I tell you today that sitting next to you on the pew, on the benches, on the chairs that you're sitting on is or people that you think you know. You think that you know them. You think that you know what their life consists of. But you find out only later to realize that you really, really don't know the individual that's sitting down for you. True. You don't know what they've been through. You don't know what they're going through at the present time. You don't know what they're about to go through. Matter of fact, they come to the house of God and they put on such a great facade. And they build up such a great wall that they never allow you to really get beyond what they want you to see. They allow you to see just what they want you to see and nothing beyond that.
Right.
Because there's people in this house today that they come with and they carry along with them embarrassments of things that they have done in their past. They bring along with them embarrassments of things that they have experienced in the past. They bring along with them the embarrassment of things that they have been involved in life. The things that have made them the person that they are.
Uh-huh.
And can I tell you today that we none like to let down on our facade. We none like to let down the wall and allow people to see what's really going on and inside of our heart or inside of our mind. It is said that you never really understand someone until you have walked a mile in their shoes. Can I tell you today that the person sitting next to you, oh, you find that the facade is there, but that's really not who they are. Because they're really not opening up and they're not allowing you to see what is going on the inside of their hearts. Let me preach to somebody today that you walked into this house one way, but God wants you to walk out of this place another way. You might have walked in this place with all these thoughts going through your mind and all these things that have happened to you, but let me say that God is here today to change your location. He's here to change your seating arrangements. He's here to change the things that you've been going through.
All right.
Hallelujah. Sitting down from us today could be individuals that would be considered emotional wrecks. You find that many, many people here today, including myself, I could say that we have nervous habits that we experience at certain times. And can I even tell you that there's perhaps people here today that because of seating arrangement is going to be changed. You're not going to walk out of this place like you came today, because God wants to change your seating arrangement.
All right.
We talked about generation gaps. We talked about society gaps. What about relationship gaps? What about problem gaps today? What about situations in our life? Statistics say that here in the United States of America, that there is every year a reported 6.6 million children who are abused right here in the United States of America. Matter of fact, we lose an average of 4 to 7 children every day because of physical abuse. There is a report of a child abuse that is made every 10 seconds. Millions of others who are abused physically, they're abused sexually and emotionally, they're abused. And it doesn't take into account those that have been neglected. What about the teenagers? What about the young adults today? What about the adults that are in this house of God today that come from abusive relationships?
Right.
What about those that suffer from depression? They suffer from illicit drug abuse. They suffer from alcohol abuse. Every 40 seconds, there is either an attempted suicide or a suicide that goes on in our world today, in our United States of America today. And we're supposed to live in the greatest country with the greatest freedoms, with the greatest liberties. Let me tell you today, there's people that just want to change their seats. There's people that just wants to change what's going on in their life. There's somebody somewhere that is hurting. We need to find them, and with the help and grace of God, introduce them to the one that is able to heal their hurt. So what I'm trying to say this morning is the chances are high that you could be sitting on the same pew with someone today who is a statistic, someone who is hurting. I know, and there's not a shadow of doubt in my mind, that the Holy Ghost changes people. I believe that. For some 40 years, nearly 38 years, I have preached that the Holy Ghost changes people. I believe that God changes people. I believe that God changes situations that people are involved in. But even as God changes people and He changes their situation, the Holy Ghost is not necessarily a fix-all. It doesn't fix everything that is going wrong in your life. It doesn't take care of everything that has taken place in your life. Because you find that we understand, according to the Word of God, that there is a law of the harvest. And the law of the harvest says that what an individual sows, that shall he also reap. And you can't change the law of the harvest. But what I'm trying to get a point today, across to us today, is that God is wanting to change your situation. He's wanting to change where you're seated. He's wanting to change something that's going on in your life. I tell us today that surgeries change people as well. It changes so many things. It changes the way that people live and act. It changes some people for the better. It changes some people for the worse. But you find that even surgeries, they leave scars of what used to be there. Scars of where the problem used to exist. It's sensitive to the touch. It's ugly to look at. And it's different from the other places that you're looking. Oh my God, I wish somebody would help me preach this morning. That somebody in this building today, that you may have scars in your life,